Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the following on podcast from TalkSport. Welcome to a breezy and wet and windy Mount Maunganui. TalkSport team made their way out of Hamilton on Saturday, got it yesterday. Had a very enjoyable evening, and the main reason for that was Neil Manthorpe's turned up. Hello, mate.
Hello, John.
We're sharing an apartment here, aren't we, in Mount Maunganui. Homie and Sam Ellard are situated about 10 minutes away. And we're looking out the window, and it's absolutely teeming it down. Have you seen the sun since you left Cape Town about 5 days ago?
I've only been on Earth for about half that time. It's been a very long journey, but I have to say that Mount Maunganui, the town, and the high street, which is only a couple of minutes' walk away from us, has entered a very special place in my heart. It's very Kiwi, and I absolutely love it. It hasn't stopped raining, barely. We had a lovely run this morning around the base of Mount Maunganui. The plan was to go up it, but I think we would have been blown off. So we're going to save that for a sunnier day.
We did, but I'm feeling very, I'm allowing myself to have a few crisps because, yeah, we started the day with a 40-minute run. And, it is a beautiful... The thing with New Zealand is it's no matter where you're coming from, it's a long way to go. And I always think to myself, it's got to be something pretty special to make you want to travel for a day or two. But it is actually that special, isn't it?
It's fantastic. As you said, I mean, there's a good reason this country's so green, because it rains a lot. But the forecast, I mean, it's been a heck of a day. We've had some sideways rain and some strong winds, but apparently it's nothing to what is forecast. Fortunately, though, the forecast also suggests that it's going to clear up, so we will get some cricket, and I think it's going to be test venue number 83 or 84 for me. I'm hoping that the ground, which you have seen before and I haven't yet, is as exciting as the place is. I mean, exciting might be the wrong word, but it's got a charm. It's got a real charm all of its own. And there was a massive cruise ship, looked like it probably had about 2,000 tourists on it when I flew in on Saturday. So I just can't believe I haven't been here before, but I'm told that it's about 2.5 drives from Auckland, so the wealthy Aucklanders are beginning to, and there's lots of holiday homes. It's just a very special spot, and I'm looking forward to getting onto the beach when we see some sunshine.
Yeah, the surfers were out earlier, weren't they? But it's a lovely little place. I just imagine what this place must be like, A, when it's sunny, and B, during December and January, because the kids have all gone back to school now. So actually, it's during those months, it's going to be absolutely heaving. England do tour here again next year, so you never know. They might be playing in Mount Maunganui in December. Look, Manners, we're going to hear from loads of you over the next couple of weeks, but very quickly, before we hear from Stuart Broad, you've got it, you've touched down. I mean, you've only just been in this part of the world over the Christmas period following South Africa's, pretty disastrous tour of Australia. But, immediate thoughts. I mean, what is it that you're expecting? What is it that comes to mind when you think about this two-test series?
It's a long, long time since I was excited about watching a brand of cricket, and that's what Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum said that they wanted to do. They wanted to make people come to Test matches. They wanted to, they never used words like rebranding, did they? They just, you know, Brendan McCullum always just said, "I want the players to have fun," and Ben Stokes said, "I want us to be fearless and I want to win." They both said they wanted to put bums on seats, and you know what? All that time I was in the air, I was just thinking about watching this new brand of Test cricket, watching it live. I've had some experience of it. I mean, I was fortunately at Edgbaston for the one-off Test match to finish the series against India. So, and then the way that they finished South Africa off was pretty incredible as well. And, you know, we had the death of the Queen, and the first day of the Oval Test match was washed out, and the ECB asked South Africa if they would be prepared to add an extra day to make that into a three-day test, and South Africa said no, so England beat them in two. It is thrilling, and I watched the Pakistan tour on television, and it was mesmerizing. I mean, I missed meeting after meeting and appointment after deadlines went by the wayside because I couldn't stop watching it, couldn't take my eyes off it, Ben Stokes has already created a legacy. We talk about the future. Never mind that. The last 10 Test matches that England have played have been amongst the greatest in their history. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, I struggle to say it because it sounds almost too big a statement to make. But I think that generations well after we're gone will look back and think, were they scoring at six and over? Just to go to Pakistan and win when England had only won three Test matches in Pakistan in 60 years of trying to go there and win 3-0 was astonishing. And I think that New Zealand will reciprocate in a really aggressive style. So the rain doesn't bother me, because I honestly think that both teams will go out there and do everything they possibly can to win, and that excites me massively. So I just, you know, Mount Maunganui is a lovely place, and we've had some fun, and I know that we will eventually get up the mountain itself, and we'll enjoy the tour, but the cricket is really what excites me most on this occasion.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, as I say, we'll be going to hearing from Manners throughout the series. The Cricket Collective will be dropping into your podcast inbox, if that is even such a thing, on Tuesday. For now, let's change tack slightly. Stuart Broad spoke to the press over the weekend, and our very own Sam Ellard sat down to have a little chat.
Stuart, thank you for speaking with TalkSport. It's been a long time. A lot's changed over the last couple of months. Congratulations, you're a father. How are you finding it? Is it harder than being a fast bowler?
Yes, yeah, for sure. You get less sleep. But it's been an incredible few months. You know, I feel very fortunate and lucky to have been able to be at home for that period of time. And, memories and moments that, you know, will stay with me forever and Molly forever. So, yeah, it's been incredible, but also been awesome to get back to work, really, and come back within the group. I watched the Pakistan series closely from home, and the guys had a great time and did so well there. I'm just looking to sort of carry on that momentum and the feeling within the group into this New Zealand tour, and it started off brilliant. It's been one of the best, most enjoyable starts to a tour that I've ever had in my touring times, the guys are looking forward to the games getting going.
Yeah, what was that be like in Queenstown? I've spoken to some of the boys, and I think they've just basically played golf all week, didn't you? It sounds like you had a great time.
Yeah, it was classed as sort of a get over jet lag 5 days, but that meant get out on the golf course for the whole day. So yeah, I went from not swinging a club since the birth of Annabella to really? To finding my swing again. So yeah, it was really good. I think Baz has got a great mentality for the group and life, really, just making sure that memories are a very important thing of playing for England, because you can quite easily let your England career sort of pass you by thinking about pressure and results and performances all the time, whereas actually we're really fortunate to come to some wonderful places and, you know, open your eyes and enjoy what's there to be seen.
Yeah, yesterday I spoke to him for the first time. I think he used the word fun like five times in the interview, which he said he wants to create an environment, as you said, about having fun. Is this the most fun you've ever had in an England team? And then as you come towards the end of your career and you're having this much fun, do you maybe sort of sometimes look back at different parts of your career and sort of think, wow, I wish I had more fun there, or I didn't take that as seriously? Have you sort of, has it made you sort of rethink different periods of your career as you look back?
Not rethink, because I've learned a huge amount from every single coach I've played under. I think there's definitely, with any sort of sports coaching, there's different ways and different mantras that you can follow for success. You know, someone like an Andy Flower, we got to number one in the world through discipline, through organisation, and knowing exactly what our roles were. And, you know, Andrew Strauss, the captain, wanted everyone to go under 3 and over, and you had to bat a long time, and all our batters averaged over 40, I think. Whereas this environment, I don't think I've ever heard sort of stats or numbers mentioned once. It's all about going on the feel of the game and taking the positive option at all times. So I think, you know, different styles do work, and I feel very fortunate that I've seen a lot of different styles. But there's no doubt that this has been the most fun environment that I've been a part of, and I think that's because that's Baz's almost number one priority, because he knows that Test cricket in the world game is under a bit of pressure. You know, it's much easier to go and play a bit of T20 franchise, and there's no pressure on you as a player particularly, and it's short, and you're away for a short period of time. But if you can create an environment that's hugely rewarding, like Test cricket is naturally, you know, there's no doubt that any player that's played Test cricket, when you walk off after 5 days having won a game, you can't replicate that feeling in any cricket. But if you can make everything around that a 10 out of 10 in the sense of being together as a group and tight and enjoying each other's company and enjoying your experience, then it really does make Test cricket the pinnacle.
First week of this tour, a lot of time outside, having fun in the sun, playing golf. Perhaps the next couple of days, as you move on to Mount Maunganui, could be a little bit different. There's a lot of rain forecast for the next couple of days. I even read a report that they're saying pack for 3 days worth of food and stuff, because you might not be able to leave wherever you are. Are you good indoors as well, keeping busy, and how's that going to sort of affect the preparation?
Well, to be fair with it, we had 3 days and 4 days in Mount Maunganui training, and their facilities are fantastic. So they had an outdoor net area that's covered fully by best way to describe it, it's like a marquee that you can put the roof on and off. So I don't know how much rain's coming, but if there's a bit of rain, then we'll be able to train in that. And we've got some great workload in there. Yeah, we're very adaptable. You know, leading up to the first test in Brisbane last year, all we did was bowl indoors because of the weather. So I think now we've got the 2 day game in the tank, we're good to go, really.
2 days enough for you, someone who hasn't played Test cricket since back end of the summer?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bit of a mental game, just making sure you're mentally ready for the competitive spirit of the game and focused on what you need to do. So, we can't predict what's coming our way weather-wise, but we've got experienced players who know what the game's about, and, you know, we're ready to go.
Feels as if you could probably predict the top seven for the first test match. Perhaps maybe who the three quicks are is a little bit more up for grabs. Perhaps all five players have a real shot of playing in that first test match. Is that sort of how you see it? That, you know, as you know, yesterday you guys all had a bowl, felt like sort of everyone's in with a real shout of, depending on the conditions of, or maybe playing in that first test match?
Yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead really to selection. I don't know what the game plan is, whether everyone's going to get a go on this trip, as it's not in the Test Championship, and I'm not sure what the thinking is. You know, Baz and Stokes have been very consistent with selection, certainly last summer. That was a huge strength of them as a duo. It gave everyone sort of a lot of confidence and sort of clear roles really in the summer, and you saw that sort of paid off in results at the end of the day. But you know, I think this is a tour that you've got guys coming back into the setup that haven't been in it much, someone like Dan Lawrence and Ollie Stone, to use as examples, that have come into the environment and realised how exceptional it is, really, and how much they've enjoyed it. So I don't know if the plan will be to give experience to guys in two test matches in New Zealand or play the best team that they think going forward to win the game. I'm really not sure, but you know, all you can do as a bowler, you know that it's unlikely you're going to play every test match in a year, just physically and how that structure works. And one thing is for sure, with what's coming in the summer, you need an armoury of fast bowlers, and we're certainly gathering that.
And just final one from me. It's been some year, hasn't it? Obviously, the test team doing really well. You become a father. And then also the icing on the cake, your beloved Nottingham Forest back in the Premier League and going okay. You must be pretty happy, maybe disappointed not going to Wembley, but happy so far with what you've seen back in the big time. Are you enjoying it?
I'm loving every second of it. Yeah, it's I look back at 2022 and the playoff final was an incredible experience. And like, what a week that was for me as watching Forest at Wembley and then playing in a test match at Lords. It was awesome. But then some of the memories we're getting as a city from being in the Premier League, you know, all my teammates at Nottinghamshire, some of them aren't Forest fans, but they're like, how good is it having Forest in the Premier League? And you know, look,
it's a proper atmosphere there, isn't it?
It's an incredible atmosphere, and we're doing really well. You know, it's there was a rocky patch at the start, but Steve Cooper's got the trust and the belief of every single fan there, and you know, he's had a great success at younger age groups within the England setup, and has shown a lot of qualities in changing a few things and getting together a group of players that has obviously been, there's been a lot of signings, but they were needed. But it's been so enjoyable as a fan, and I've got a Leeds fan stood next to me actually, who was a bit disappointed with the result on Monday morning.
The best thing happened to Leeds, no? It got Marshall sacked, didn't it? So, you know, they're going to stay up now because they should be thanking you. No, there you go, thumbs up from Danny Rubin.
Yeah, it's honestly, I'm loving every single second. I just hope we stay in the Premier League, because it's so amazing to think that, you know, you have Man City, Man United coming. Yeah. Coming just down the road at the City Ground.
Next weekend, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, to think we made a League Cup semi-final, we didn't maybe put in the best performances over that period of time, but League Cup semi-final in the Premier League and the England Test team flying, it's going pretty well.
Oh, and a newborn.
Is that third on the priority list?
No, that's
football,
one,
cricket,
one.
Then the baby.
That's one.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, Stuart.
Stuart Broad speaking with Sam Ellard. Harmy's with me. Harmy? First off, he hasn't given it a thought. Stuart Broad hasn't given it a thought about whether he's going to play in that first test. He's come all the way here from England. You know, he's just given birth. His wife's just given birth. His partner's just given birth. He hasn't even thought about whether he's going to play. Have you ever had a thought about whether Stuart Broad will play?
No, I think he's telling porcupines as our Stuart. I think he's been changing nap. He's thinking about this very moment. And I mean that in a nice way. I think he's been thinking about this moment for quite a while, because I think he must have, and knowing Stuart as I do, he is the most positive person about himself, and I mean that in the best way possible, because he gets every ounce of his ability out of him, and he understands the game, and he gets how the game needs to be played and gets the best out of him in that way. I think even the most positive Stuart Broad must have been sitting at home on maternity leave, parental leave, and thinking, I might not get my place back here for quite a while, because Ollie Robinson was absolutely fantastic in Pakistan. Jimmy Anderson was Jimmy Anderson. Mark Wood was the difference that this bowling attack needs. And I think Stuart might have been thinking, ooh, I wonder when my next game for England would be. I don't think for one minute he thought he would be finished. No, I'm not saying that in that context. I'm just thinking he might have been thinking, I'm going to have to work hard here. I might not play until the summer. I might have to get a few wickets for Notts to force me way back into the side. But here he is. He's presented with Mount Maunganui, pink ball, under lights, an absolute hurricane on its way. So we are looking at conditions which is going to suit both Stuart and Jimmy, all three of them, Stuart, Jimmy and Ollie. And I think he's going to get a game in this first test match. So to say he wasn't thinking about it, I think he's telling porkies as our Stuart.
There's this great little scene in one of the Simpsons episodes from about 20 years ago, when Lisa Simpson turns to Homer Simpson and says, says, Dad, do you know that in Japan they have the same word for crisis as they do opportunity? And Homer says, yes, crisis-tunity. But the fact is, go back however many months and Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson are saying, you know, they might not play Test cricket again because they're so, you know, affronted by the fact that they weren't brought to the West Indies. And now Stuart Broad is quoted widely as saying that if it wasn't for being dropped in the West Indies, they wouldn't have a Test career. So it is funny, isn't it? You just never know.
Absolutely. You never know how your cards are dealt and the hand that you've got. We talked on a podcast two days ago, about what Ashley Giles, Chris Silverwood, ECB had to go through. Joe Root had to go through that Ashes, Sri Lanka, India, West Indies series. And then literally within 9 months, you know, the sky is blue, the grass is green, everything's rosy. Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes have took England arguably to one of the best, to the point of being one of the best sides in the world and changing the whole face of Test match cricket. So things do change very, very quickly. And the opportunity for Stuart Broad, and the one thing he's very, very good at, is seizing an opportunity. Because how many times has he been cast aside? How many times has he been written off? And how many times has he gone into the media, said, I'm going to do this, said, I'm going to do that, and a lot of people criticise him for it, and he's gone and done it. And it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of Mount Maunganui, if England win, Stuart Broad has played a very, very pivotal part in how England win this Test match.
Tell you what, we were talking earlier, weren't we, and we were all quite sure that Jack Leach was going to play in this Test match. And you made mention of the fact that suddenly, you know, it's all blue skies. It's not blue skies here. I'm not sure if the microphone's picking up the sound of the wind. It's battering the coast. Real serious scenes in the Northlands, which is north of Auckland. Auckland's getting it at the moment. We're not getting it quite so bad here in the Bay of Plenty in Tauranga. But the next couple of days could be something quite different. You know, if the game is delayed or truncated, you know, push back to start, maybe it starts on day two. Actually, and the conditions are still like this, actually, could you see Jack Leach missing out?
I could. I could see Jack Leach missing out. I think the way Ben picks his sides and he's loyal with his sides, I think it's going to take a lot for him to leave Jack Leach out. But I think if you do go the way the weather forecast is, and actually the forecast for the first couple of days isn't the greatest either. They're going on a storm at the minute. I'm from Asherton. I play golf at Newbegin, and this is just a nice summer's day at this minute. And therefore, you know, we'd have people on the tee box now going out at Newbegin in this. And you know, it's. But I think with the amount of water that's about to hit the North Island of New Zealand, and if we do lose day one, and we've got to remember, if we lose day one, we've got floodlights, so we play 98 overs for 4 days. If that happens, we haven't lost a great deal of cricket. And even if we lose 2 days, England will still feel as though they've got a chance of winning the game, because that's what Ben and Brendan do. But it wouldn't surprise me if we do get into the second day, and if we have lost a lot of time, if the toss does happen on the second day, then it wouldn't surprise me if Jack Leach is omitted from his side for possibly one of Potts or Stone. I look at what potentially they could do. Potentially could bolster the baton and play Jacks if they think we're not really going to need a spinner, but if we're going to go for a spinner, we'll go for the off spinner who, you know, holds his own but gives us a depth of our baton. And Ben going, what he sometimes has done, if he gets the toss and makes a bold decision where he feels as though probably the best thing for we can do in this game is to bat once in the game. So however he thinks the situation is in the surface or in the conditions from the forecast point of view, whatever decision it is, whether he thinks actually it's best to bat first on here because there's a little bit of rain around the next few days, this is going to be the best day to bat on. Can we get a big enough score and can we bowl twice? Or whether he does the conventional way, which would be to win the toss, bowl first, bowl them out, bat once. And that's where maybe his Will Jacks might come into number seven, folks go to number eight, and then say, right, we've got three seamers, Ben bowl himself. But there's a worry about his fitness. Four seamers, a part-time spinner, with also Joe Root, pack the baton and say, right, we're only going to bat once in this game, and that's how we're going to win because of, you know, because we're going to be too short a time.
Good stuff, Harmy. Well, I made mention of the weather, and you heard from Sam Ellard earlier. There is, we're situated slap bang in the middle of Mount Maunganui, myself, and tell you what, me and Neil Manthorpe, our sense of direction is truly appalling. You guys don't know this, actually, but we managed to, we ran all the way to the mount, which, if you haven't seen it, is essentially, as it sounds, it's like it's a big hill. And the intention was to run up the hill. And our sense of direction is so bad, we failed to do that. We ran round the hill. So there you go. But we do have a rugby ground, I think it is, just a few metres, just over the road from where we are. So I've sent Sam Ellard out to do a quick pitch report from the middle of the rugby field. So let's hear how he got on.
Yeah, thank you very much, John, for giving me this wonderful responsibility. 2 months ago, I was at a World Cup final in Qatar. Now I'm stood on a damp rugby pitch in the wind. It is probably, as you would imagine it, people here in New Zealand. It's basically like being in London, but even more windy. It is incredibly bleak, incredibly windy. The skies are grey. The grass is wet. It's currently spitting. We did have a much, much, much heavier rain early this morning. But this is not good at all. It's absolutely freezing, and I've only packed one jumper. It's not fair and not right that we left England in the freezing cold in February. We've come here for a test series, and somehow it seems worse than being in England. Not fair, not cool. John, I'm coming back inside. Put the kettle on, mate. It's absolutely freezing. And by the way, where on earth is Andrew McKenna when you need him? Because he does this sort of stuff much better than me. But the news, people, from a rugby pitch in Mount Maunganui, it's cold, it's wet, it's windy. And as I look up to the skies, goodness me, it is incredibly grey. Somehow I think people back in England have got nicer conditions than what we have here in New Zealand. I never thought I would be saying that. Put the kettle on, Harmy.
So there you go. It's windy. Right, we've got a little bonus interview now. We have enjoyed very much listening to TalkSport 2's coverage of the SEN feed from Nagpur. The first test match between India and Australia went the way of India in less than 2.5 days of action, or just over 2.5 days of action. It was brilliant coverage from the team out there, led by Adam Collins. We, on the other hand, was listening to that. Also took the opportunity to duck out last night early. We could have stayed out for another couple of glasses of Sauvignon Blanc. Instead, we came back to essentially enjoy watching Australia capitulate, bowled out for 91, I think it was, 92 possibly, losing big time. And yeah, they've got a few problems. Always good. Anyway, TalkSport 2's John Jackson is actually in India right now, following the Formula E circuit, and the former opening bat for India, Shikhar Dhawan, was there, and John caught up with him.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time.
For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Well, I'm here in Hyderabad at the E-Prix, the first ever E-Prix with Formula E here in India, joined by the captain of the Punjab Kings, Shikhar Dhawan. You must be excited to be here. It's a very special occasion.
Yes, absolutely. I'm very, very excited over here. This is my first time coming for the race thing. And of course, it's a great moment for me and as well as for India to, you know, do it for the first time over here. And Formula E race, I'm sure it's going to be a great success over here.
Yeah, we're very much looking forward to it. Have you had a chance to maybe have a look around the garages? Have you been in one of the cars?
Yeah, I just went downstairs to visit a garage and I met the driver over there as well. And I was interacting with him, trying to know his mindset and about his toys. And it was lovely to speak to him. And yes, looking forward for a great event this afternoon.
Now, as an elite sports person yourself, you must see, you know, similarities between you and a racing driver. It's all, you know, physical but also mental.
Exactly, yeah. As I know about drivers, that they have to be really fit. They lose a lot of weight while driving, and it's so much of lots of G-force out there. And but at the same time, as a top athlete, you need to be, you know, physically fit and mentally really, really strong. So I'm sure, you know, that's what I was trying to get into the driver's mind, like what's his mindset and all that stuff. And it was good to interact with him. And absolutely, you have to be top-notch in both the aspects.
You do, and obviously we know that the Indians love their cricket, so hopefully maybe motorsport can get a little bit of the action as well. But speaking of cricket, India doing very well against Australia at the moment. We're broadcasting it back home in the UK on TalkSport too, and it looks like, you know, they've got the measure of Australia.
Yes, absolutely. India is quite a strong team at home turf, and they're in a very dominating position, and I'm sure they're going to do really well in the series. And our captain scored a great century, so big congratulations to him. He's leading from the front, and all the boys doing really well, and I'm sure that we're going to dominate this series. And it's always good to dominate against Australians and cricket. Yeah.
We've got to wait a little while till we see England come and play tests. That'll be next year. Have you seen much of England's test team at the moment under Brendan McCullum? It's attacking, it's different.
Oh yeah, but they've been playing totally different cricket, and you can see the shift in England's cricket after Brendan McCullum became their test cricket coach. And good, you know, they're raising the bars, which is very, very good. And it will be good to see once England going to come over here and how they play on a turning track as well. So that's going to be fun to watch.
It will. And obviously with the IPL coming up, Punjab Kings, you're the captain. You got Liam Livingstone back, great English player, but also the most expensive ever player in the IPL, Sam Curran. You must be looking forward to playing alongside him.
Absolutely. They both are top gun players, and they won the World Cup. Sam Curran is a great asset for our team, not just for us, for, you know, any team in the world. And really looking forward to play with them, and I'm sure that we will do really good this season and going to go all in.
Shikhar Dhawan speaking with John Jackson, who is covering the Formula E tournament for TalkSport. Harmy, we enjoyed that, didn't we? Sitting back and watching a succession of Aussie wickets. And they look like they're in a bit of trouble. They're going to do well to turn that one around. Although, I suppose we should remember that when India were in Australia last, they were bowled out for 36. And despite having to go through a cast list of thousands, they actually came away with a series win. But, yeah, it's a big ask for Australia from here.
Yeah, it was puzzling, some of the selection that Australia went with. No Travis Head, probably one of their best batsmen over the course of the last 12 months. I think their seamers were pretty much threadbare. Mitchell Starc was in the same Sydney airport as Neil Manthorpe on his way to India before hopefully he's going to play in the second test from an Australia point of view. No Josh Hazlewood. You look at the group and you think probably five or six out of that team that's played against India won't be playing in the Ashes when they comes round. So is there any hang-up? Because you've got to think from an England point of view, is there any hang-up from that? Well, the hang-up from that is their captain is getting flogged, which I think is the biggest plus, if anything. And I mean this in every respect, from a supporter's point of view, an English supporter's point of view. It looks as though Pat Cummins is going to have to do a lot of work for Australia in India. and that before the Ashes could be quite telling, because I think he could be the difference between England winning and losing the Ashes, because if Cummins comes fresh and refreshed and full of confidence, the bowler is a potent weapon for Australia. Watching them yesterday, they looked a bit rabbit in the headlights. The pick players who were supposed to be, you know, better players of spin than the likes of Travis Head and Hanscom and Renshaw, and they looked all at sea. A couple of decisions didn't go their way, but when you look at it, you missed a trick. They won the toss. You win the toss, you can't fluff your lines. You know, England, when England were over there, when England won the toss, Joe Root got a big 100. England won the game. After that, if you don't make it count first innings in India, you've got no chance. And 177, I think it was, just not enough. If you get 280, you've got more of a chance, because I don't think the Indian batting unit is as strong as what it used to be. I think you can get at India, and I think that's something that England will be looking at in January, February when they go over there. That it's, I don't think it's the strongest batting unit from an Indian point of view, but if you don't go in and be proactive on these surfaces in India when you've got the bat in your hand, then you are just basically, yeah, you're there, you're cannon fodder for Jadeja and Akshar Patel. And I think that's where England will be good. That's where England will be different. The way Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum want to play, that's a different way of playing, to put the ball back in the Indian bowler's court, where yesterday, watching over the last few days, I didn't see any of that from the Australian side. And losing early wickets to seamers, it was, from an English point of view, it was nice to see. And they've got some, I think they've got some selection dilemmas, because did they try and be too cute and too clever in that first test match? They might just have to go back to what has been good for them and tried and tested, and that is back to basics. It wouldn't surprise me if Stark comes back straight into the side. Head's got a player, but all in all, watching 3 days that Australia played against India, they looked as though they were a long, long way from where the Indian cricket team is at right now.
Well, the second test will be broadcast live and exclusive in the UK on TalkSport 2. That gets underway on February the 17th, the day after the first test between New Zealand and England. So we've got loads of cricket coming your way on TalkSport 2. Pleased to say that the England women also got off to a winning start in the Women's World T20. Georgie Heath reporting on that throughout the day on TalkSport. She'll be back for the second match as well. So loads going on. But that brings us to the end of the podcast today. We'll be back for another show on Monday. Going to have some exclusive England player audio for you. Ollie Robinson will be speaking, as well as another England player. And yeah, we're just going to have to batten down the hatches a little bit, because Cyclone Gabrielle has reached landfall and she ain't going anywhere for a couple of days. So it's going to get a little bit windy here. But for now, thanks for listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.